big day, the total eclipse day, and the Ying Quartet in town. They will be performing tonight at 7:30, Haydn and Dvorak and Xavier Foley. And one of the founding members is on the phone with us right now, Philip Ying. Good morning, Philip.
Hey, good morning, Jim.
Where are you now? Are you in town?
Yeah, we came in, believe it or not, we were thinking about coming from Rochester this morning, but then we got scared about the eclipse traffic, and we didn't know what was going to happen, so we came in the evening yesterday. We're here.
Very wise, I think. No doubt about that. Well, I hope you have a wonderful time and get to take a look at the sky this afternoon. But, of course, you'll be getting ready for your concert, 7:30 PNC Recital Hall. It's at the Point Park University in the Playhouse tonight. Haydn and Dvorak and Xavier Foley. For folks who have not yet bought their tickets, why should they come to the concert this evening?
Well, I was going to say there are three highlights to the concert, but that's a little odd to say that three highlights. But there are. Haydn is amazing and wonderful, and we're going to be performing, starting the program with a quartet of his. And then second on the program will be some of Xavier Foley's original work for bass. I think he's going to have a little set of his own. And if you don't know Xavier Foley, he's one of the most talented young bass players on the scene. Wildly talented, I would say. Kind of a maverick. There's nothing he can't do on the instrument. But what makes him special is that his musical brain never stops. And he writes music of his own, composes music of his own, adding to the repertoire. In the case of tonight, a bass quintet, there are very, very few bass quintets in the repertoire for string quartet plus bass. And he's adding to it with a world premiere tonight. He wrote a piece for the five of us, and that will be played tonight, world premiere. And then we're going to follow that up after intermission with the Dvorak bass quintet. As I said, one of the very few pieces in the repertoire written actually for the five instruments. I'm not sure why there aren't more pieces, but there just aren't. So we're really happy not only to play one of the real standards, but also to add to the repertoire tonight.
The voice you are hearing speaking to us live is Philip Ying, violist in the Ying Quartet. 30 years now. Am I correct? Three decades? How long have you been going?
Well, yes. From the founding of the quartet with four siblings. My brother Tim originally played first violin. And yes, we founded the quartet pretty much a little over 30 years ago now. And he played for the first 18 years and then moved on to Toronto to be with his family. And now we're with a wonderful violinist named Robin Scott, and it's three of the founding members, my sister Janet and my brother David and me.
You must have pretty close to the record for continuous operation as a string quartet. There's the Guarneri and the Emerson, and just this year the Emerson stepped down and the Orion stepping down. Aren't you at the very front of the group for longevity? It's wonderful.
It seems like it. Seems like it, but I don't really keep track of those things. We're still loving what we do so much. Coming through the pandemic, afterwards, we're one of those artists and I have friends that feel the same way, that art means so much more. Music means so much more to us now. And every opportunity to share music here in Pittsburgh tonight means so much to us, and we're grateful and appreciative for it.
The Ying Quartet started in Jessup, Iowa, not a place that we expect to find a string quartet, correct?
That's right. That was our very first job, graduating from Eastman. And Jim, I know you have a child who's just making his way into the field of music, and you always worry about that first job after school. And our first job came in the form of a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts to move to a town of 2,000 people in Jessup, Iowa. And there we lived for 2 years making music among people, playing in every situation where people would listen, whether that was, of course, a school classroom or a retirement community, but it also included places of business or a Rotary Club lunch or a Lions Club lunch or a ladies' social club. Wherever people would listen to music, we made music. And it was a life-changing experience, actually, for us as musicians and in terms of our outlook and our desire to share music with people in every circumstance.
Philip, wherever you go, the quartet really digs in. While you're here in Pittsburgh, you're going to visit WQED-FM. We're looking forward to hosting you tomorrow. And you're going to work with the Hope Academy.
Yeah, we're really excited about that and believe so much that the future of music is in these training programs that, especially the ones like Hope, that seek to reach kids no matter where they are, no matter what their means, just to give them opportunity to experience music and to learn an instrument and to express themselves, to become more fully themselves through music.
How is it going at Eastman, where you're in residence, at one of the most amazing music schools, world-class graduates there all around the globe? We had George Vosburgh, our principal trumpet of the Pittsburgh Symphony. He's an Eastman grad. And Gretchen Van Hoosen, our principal harp, still on stage, her father having been a legend at your school.
Yeah. Another privilege. I just feel like things have happened in their life that add to our mission of being able to share music. I benefited so much as an Eastman student studying with the Cleveland Quartet back in our training years. And so Eastman has so much meaning for me in terms of inspiration, mentorship, the idea of giving back and helping younger musicians. We've been there now for 27 years, believe it or not. And it's been a special part of what we do.
And when we visit Eastman, what's the one thing we should see or do in Rochester? There's Eastman Kodak Museum, is there not? What's your favorite thing that you take people to show them when they come to Rochester, New York?
I don't want to say embarrassing, but Rochester is a great community, but people often take them to see Wegmans grocery store because it's really, one of the best grocery stores in the country, and their stores are impressive. So we do that, but of course, yes. There's the George Eastman Museum, and another special thing about Eastman is its roots in the whole civil rights movement, with people like Frederick Douglass and Susan B. Anthony, and the women's right to vote and other kinds of civil rights. So that's a special part of Rochester's history as well.
Much to do after we've gone to a Rochester Philharmonic and seen the sights on the Eastman campus. Philip Ying, I'm so glad that you're back in Pittsburgh. You visited us once before and performed in our studio downtown, and you performed Debussy and Jolong and Paquita de Rivera. It was an absolutely terrific visit, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow and hearing you tonight with Haydn, Xavier Foley, and the Dvorak Quintet. One 30-second assessment of viola talk. What instrument do you play? Strings you use? Rosin you love? What should violas know about the techniques, the nitty-gritty, the weeds?
I've been playing the bulk of my career on a modern instrument. It's a Tetsuo Matsuda, longtime maker in Chicago, and really enjoying that. I use Eva Gold's, and on this particular instrument, this is getting really nerdy, I use the higher tension Eva Gold's, the ones that are rope core, and they work on this instrument. They're a little stiff for some instruments. Right now, I use a Bizan bow, which I got last year, and I'm enjoying it. It played in the Boston Symphony for many, many years before that, so that's a fun little fact, this idea of instruments being used and passed along. And bows. Rosin, I've used Falco forever. I don't know. I just I can nerd out for as long as you want on the viola.
Love it. All right. People are fascinated with the size of the viola because they range. Everyone expects them to be the same size, but some are quite large. Is your viola an extraordinary large instrument? You have big hands?
I'm not a large person, actually, but I've always played a 17-inch viola. I like this particular one. I would play a smaller one if I found one, but I play this particular one, and I adapt my technique for a slightly larger instrument. But you're right, violists themselves come in all sizes and shapes, and so do the violas. So we just try to make a good match and try to figure out how to adjust your technique to play the instrument you're playing.
And the moment for the violist tonight, do you always have the inner voices in the music, Dvorak, Haydn, Foley this evening?
Yeah, Xavier definitely gives the viola its moments in the quintet, and Dvorak loved the viola. He played the viola himself. So many composers did. Mozart, Beethoven, Dvorak, they all love the viola, and I just found out that Benjamin Britten. His favorite instrument was the viola among the string quartet. So, you know, it's a pretty cool thing.
Philip Ying, violist with the Ying Quartet, on stage tonight, 7:30 at the PNC Recital Hall, Point Park University in downtown Pittsburgh, the grand finale of Chamber Music Pittsburgh season. Have a wonderful time in the city. We'll look forward to seeing you this evening and tomorrow here at 4802 Fifth Avenue. Thanks for getting up early, Philip.
No problem. Thanks, Jim.
And here they are performing in the studio, the Paquita de Rivera Huapango, the Ying Quartet.